I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you're glad you're here today. Me too. Open in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 14. I'm going to preach on First Kids Dismissed today. Wholehearted. Most of us are very familiar with the story when the children of Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt. Egypt is a type of sin. So they were brought out of Egypt. Crossing the Jordan is symbolic of water baptism. Going through the Red Sea is new life. So they went in a family. They came out a nation. A nation with newness of life. They were God's. He was going to protect them and bless them. He brought them out with many miracles. In about 40 days, they got to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea, on the southern border of the Promised Land, Canaan. Kadesh Barnea is a place of a literal truth, but a spiritual lie. Now, something can be literally true, but be against what God has said. So it can be a literal truth, but it'll be a spiritual lie. You got to be able to discern between the two. Before they went in, and God said, I brought you out to bring you in. But before they went into the Promised Land, Moses sent 12 spies into the land. How many of you are familiar with that story? Who was the two that brought back the positive report? Joshua and Caleb. Who can name one of the 10 that brought back the negative report? Just in case you didn't catch it, when you give God's report, you're remembered. When you speak positively, you'll be remembered. When you speak negatively, you'll quickly be forgotten. So watch what comes out. See what God is doing and report on that. See what is possible. And the only way you can really do that is by serving God wholeheartedly. So we take up the story. Joshua chapter 14 and 14. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord God of Israel wholeheartedly. That was said of him by Moses. Moses had already tagged him with that. But he had said it about himself. He said, I serve the Lord with my whole heart. But most of all, and most importantly, it was said of Caleb by God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24 says, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. That's what God said. Joshua 14, 14 is the finish of that. But what got my attention, and I've preached on this a couple of different times, but what got my attention is that anytime God says that about a man, he has followed me wholeheartedly, that man is worth our study and our attention. I want to see his life. I want to explore into the depths of his life. I've always admired Caleb. He had courage. He had boldness. He had a power of spirit. He had wisdom of years. And all of these helped him win the greatest of victories of his life. On his march, on their march out of Egypt to the promised land, the children of Israel, as I've already said, reached Kadesh Barnea. Why didn't they just go on in? That's what God told them to do. But before they entered in, because of the people, Moses allowed 12 spies to go in, one from each tribe. The spies were to bring back a report. It was a reconnaissance mission, like a mission impossible. Moses said, bring back about the inhabitants, the fruitfulness, bring a report back about the cities, the defenses, and the easiest way for us to go in and overcome them. There was no doubt in Moses' mind, according to the promise of God, that they were to possess the land. God had given Israel that land. He promised it over 400 years before when Abraham had walked that land. He said, I'm going to give this land to you and to your descendants after you. Joseph, when he was working for Pharaoh and his family, his brothers came, you know that story also. He made this proclamation, when you leave here to go there, take my bones with you. So all of them knew that land is ours. They were to spy it out. The spies were not sent in to see if they could possess that land. That's not why they went. The land was theirs. Now this brings out something that's very, very, very important. There is no ifs to the promises of God. They are yea and amen. No ifs. The only if that surrounds a promise of God is in man's obedience or disobedience. Are we going to obey him or are we not going to obey him? That's the only question. After 40 days in the promised land, that study of Canaan, those 12 spies returned to the camp of Israel at Kadesh. Immediately, the majority the 10 step to the forefront. We're going to give our report first. They said, it is a good land. They said, it is a fruitful land. It is flowing with milk and honey. I heard a guy preach on that. He says that land was so fruitful and so rich that a dozen eggs only needed two eggs, and it made up that whole dozen. He said the grapes were so large that to carry a grape would take a wheelbarrow. He said the milk was so plentiful that one cow could feed a multitude. And he said the lambs were so sweet that when they were butchered, that there was always a feast. I don't know where he got that from, but sounds good to me. I like the two to a dozen eggs. Just two eggs, make a dozen. They said, yes, it's a good land. Yes, it's a fruitful land. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. And as evidence, they brought back a cluster of grapes so heavy that it took two men to carry that one little cluster. That's Bible. So far, so good. But they wasn't finished. You know, some people just don't know when to hush. If they'd have stopped there, they'd have been on good standing. And you'd know their names. But they just wouldn't hush. They had to go ahead and give the rest of the story. They said, the land is occupied by fierce tribes. Amalekites in the south, Hittites and the Amorites and the Jebusites up in the mountain, and the Canaanites are down by the sea. These warrior tribes live in high, strong-walled cities. And we even saw some giants. They were huge. I could have slept in their shoes. They're huge. Numbers 13:33 says, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. When the people heard that, it was a hopeless report. They were swayed and they were infected. Now listen, there's nothing that will infect you like negative thinking and negative speaking. It will sway you, it will infect you, and it will cause you to be negative. And the whole people, they were swayed and they were infected by that weak and full of fear report that the 10 spies brought back. They lifted up their voices and began to weep. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Numbers 14, verses 2 and 4 said, oh, if we'd only died in Egypt. Son, that's negative if I've ever heard it. Oh, if we'd only died in Egypt or in the desert. What we should do is choose some new leadership and go back to Egypt. Oh, don't think too harshly about them. It still happens today. I've heard that report. I've heard that lament. We were so happy before you came. Makes you want to say, well, I beg your pardon. You were never promised a rose garden. Do a little Lynn Anderson on them. I've heard that report. It still happens today. We were happy before you came. That's what they were saying to Moses and to Aaron. And then Caleb got up and said, hush, 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 hush. And he said, let me give the minority report. Me and Joshua, we stand shoulder to shoulder. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, says Caleb silenced the people. And he said this, we should go up and possess the land. We should go up and take possession of it right now. For we can certainly do it. In verses 14, chapter 14, verse 9, it says, only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. I like one version that I read. It says, we'll eat them alive. Caleb, my kind of man. Let's eat them alive. Their protection is gone, he said. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the congregation was in no mood to listen to Caleb. That heroic sermon that he was preaching didn't even dent their armor. They said, we're not going to hear it. We don't want to hear it. You might as well hush. It's not going to get through. And they cried out for Caleb and Joshua to be stoned. Listen, you speak up for God. You liable to get some stones thrown at you, verbal or otherwise. I've been invited out to the parking lot a couple of times. And they wasn't going to show me a brand new car either. They had other things in mind. It's the way it goes. But Moses' reaction... Oh, I absolutely love it. He sensed the anger of the Lord. And the Lord was hot against the people for their cowardice and their lack of faith. They were not trusting him. They were not believing him. Oh, they were blaming Caleb and Joshua. But it was really the God that they were against God, not those two. And Moses immediately began to pray a powerful, powerful prayer. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 19, he said, in accordance with your great love. Now, we just sung about your great love, his great love. Moses kind of reminded God, in accordance with your great love, forgive the sins of these people. Just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. And listen, God had already forgiven them more times than fingers on one hand. I mean, probably more times than two hands. You'd have to pull off your shoes. At the Red Sea, they said, you brought us out here to die. And Moses said, you heard him, God. And God said, when you've done all you know to do, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He preached that message to the children of Israel. It didn't really make much difference to them until he raised his staff over the Red Sea and it parted back. God forgave them. God forgave them. God forgave them. And God said in Numbers 14 and 20, I have forgiven them as you asked. Had it not been for Moses, children of Israel would have been wiped out right there. And God would have started all over again. Not with the children of Abraham, but with the children of Moses. The people were spared instant destruction because of unbelief and fear and disobedience. Nothing's going to cause more problems for you than disobedience and fear and unbelief. You're going to have to say, I believe God. And then you're going to have to act on, I believe God. After seeing his glory, after seeing all the miracles that he had done, the plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, all the miraculous moving of God on their behalf, the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, all of those things. But God forgave them. But he said to Moses, not one adult will see the promised land. Not one of these adults will make it in. Everyone 20 years old and up who listened to the report of the 10 spies and scorned the report of Joshua and Caleb will perish in the wilderness. That was God's words through Moses. So see the picture. Israel standing at the door of the promised land. Every one of them had to hang their head and turn and walk back into the wilderness. That land flowing with milk and honey was right in front of them. God said, I gave it to you. Go in and possess it. In other words, God said, I've already prepared it. All you got to do is just go in obedience. Every battle will be yours. Every enemy will fall before you. Go in. But instead, they had to turn back into the wilderness where for 40 years they wandered aimlessly, crossing the same pathway over and over and over, going around the same mountain time after time after time. 40 years. It's not a very big desert to spend 40 years on, when if they'd have been obedient, they could have gone into the promised land and in 40 days, they could have conquered the promised land. Instead of spending 40 years wandering to and fro in the desert, the wasteland. The desert paths were strewn with the bones of a generation who refused to enter the land that God gave them on promise. I pray that my generation is not like that, leaving a legacy for that generation. We have seen so much. We have experienced so much. If you'll think back, those of you who are my age or close to it, maybe a little above, maybe a little below, maybe a lot below, you've seen an outpouring of God's Spirit in such a magnificent way. You've witnessed the charismatic movement where God extended beyond the Pentecostal church into the mainline denominations, the Catholic, the Methodist, the Baptist, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, filled them with the Holy Spirit and brought them our way. But some in the Pentecostal church, we were too righteous for them. They still had sins they had not taken care of. And we wouldn't let them in. So they started their own movement. We have seen so much. Many of you have witnessed the miracles of God through men and women in days gone by. That, you know, sometimes they were called healing preachers. Oh, yeah, Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine Kuhlman would stand behind the curtain every night, and she would plead with God, "Oh, God, don't take your spirit from me. Move through me by your spirit." And she'd step out on that stage. She was eccentric. If you never saw her, you'd say, "Woo! She's a flake." I saw her, a man with two holes in his heart. He was scheduled for surgery that day. She looked at him and said, "You have two holes in your heart. They're healed in the name of Jesus." And that man ran all over that huge auditorium. He couldn't even stand up for more than 5 minutes before that. Oh, I've seen miracles. Cancers fall off. Listen. If you and I don't obey Him, if we don't believe Him, if we don't go and possess what God has already given us, then we're going to wander aimlessly in a desert. And the generation that's following us will take up and do what we should have done. I've gone as far as I can go for this morning. I just want to touch on this last thing. There is an influence, and this is point one on your outline. And no, I'm not going to get to cover it, but I'm going to tell you about it. The influence of the false. Two men led a nation astray. Two men call for revival, but 10 led a whole nation astray. 12 spies, 12 tribes. Each of them a ruler in that tribe. But 10 of them were totally unworthy of that position that Moses had appointed them to. It was not only a just punishment that God doled out, having them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But listen to me, it was a wise move by God. If God would have sent that unbelieving nation into the promised land, they would have never been able to defeat one tribe. They'd have turned tail and run. So every one of the doubters died outside. And those that had believed and been brought up afterward were able to go in. I don't know where you are today. I don't know how much you believe. I don't know how strong you are with God. I know this. I want to be wholehearted in my serving Him. I want to serve Him with everything that I am, everything I've got, every thought, every deed. I want it to be God-honoring. Everything that He tells me, I want to be obedient to. The Spirit of God is here right now. He's talked to my heart. He's convicting some that have been doubting, that have been negative. You've talked down even about the things of God. And God is saying right now is the time to get that straightened out. Some of you have been negligent about obeying God and what He's asking you to do. There's some of you that God has got great things in store for you, but you're saying no, because you figure that the price is too great, or it's going to disrupt my life, or whatever. And He's saying, now's the time to take care of that. I've got great things in store if you'll come and follow me with your whole heart. Some of you, you started out on fire for God, and your fire has dwindled. And now you're no more than a smoldering ash of what you used to be. If you sit here and say, I remember when, then you're further from God right now than you were then. And if at any time in your life God did greater things for you, you're further away from Him than you were then. And it's time to get back. This is a reckoning day. This is a division day. This is a division message from what was to what's going to be. This is forward believing. Either we're going to trust Him, and we're going to believe Him, and we're going to go on, or we're going to wander around for a while. I don't know about you, but we've been wandering around long enough. Hearing God's going to do this and God's going to do that, it's time that we put some feet on what God's going to do. And the only way we're going to do that is through obedience. You say, well, Pastor, you need to become more obedient. I'm as obedient as I know how to be. But I don't know how many of you understand. You can't drive sheep. Sheep don't drive. They'll bite. If you want what God's got, you follow. You follow. And I'm doing my best to lead you in that direction. Oh, God's got something in store. There's a promised land of blessing if we'll just go and possess it. And it's up to us. And yeah, I say us, every one of us. It's time. We've wandered around long enough. Are we going to believe Him or not? Bow your heads with me for a moment, would you please?